Hello, welcome. Thank you very much for downloading our podcast and tuning in.
Benvenuti. Ciao, tutti.
Today is Wednesday, the 2nd of February, and we're on time taping our next podcast.
Let's see if that continues for getting it up online.
That is our goal. Up online by the end of business today. So let's jump right into it.
Busy week.
Busy week. Beautiful day out today. The sun is shining. It's cold but clear.
Uh-huh. And perfect weather for curing meat in the rafters of the house.
Beginning, middle to end of January is always sausage and salami making time. And we've done that this last week. We went to the coast, to Marotta, about 45 minutes from us.
To our friend Vittorio.
Vittorio's house and his beautiful wife.
Antonella.
Antonella, that is her name, Antonella. And we made about 50 kilos or about 120 pounds of, or 110 pounds of salamis and sausages made out of just the shoulder of the pig. Pork shoulder, salt, pepper, and a little bit of white wine. That's it.
With a garlic clove soaking in the white wine.
Yep.
And this time with the salamis, you added peppercorn.
Yes, we added some peppercorn.
Now, the recipe can vary. A lot of times people will ask about fennel. It's just not as common in our area. Totally delicious. But that's more Umbrian, no?
Yeah, I mean, each region or each area has a different take on how to make salamis and sausages.
Do you prefer fennel seed or fennel frasé? Or what would you call it?
The fronds? I like the front. Well, here, like for the porchetta, they use the wild fennel.
But what about for the salami?
Yeah, you would use the seed. I think the seed for the finocchiona.
Yeah.
The seeds.
All right. Just curious. All right. So continue. So we're making the sausages with the best possible meat.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll use cinghiale, wild boar, and they'll do like a half-half, which can be awesome. That was some of the best fresh grilled sausages I've ever had. Sometimes people ask us if there's a goat or horse or
there's
donkey.
There's nothing crazy in there. There's no lips and buttholes. There is just pork, ground pork shoulder, salt, pepper, and white wine.
Highest quality grade. Yep.
Okay.
And then we use intestines as the casings.
Mm-hmm.
So small intestines for sausages, large intestines for salami.
Exactly. And there's a little hand crank machine that you load up the meat, the pork shoulder, they call it pasta salsiccia, or the ground sausage meat. And there's a nipple that you load the budino or the casing onto, turn the crank, and out squirts the sausage meat.
You have to have a delicate hand because otherwise you'll rip the casing.
There'll be air holes in the casing, so you have to be very delicate and control the speed at which the meat is coming out, and also the way that you fill the casing itself. After that, we tie them up. We put the salamis into like nets, and we hang them. We hang them both, the salamis and sausages, for 4 weeks for the sausages, up to 8 weeks for the salami.
And right now in apartment 3, in the bedroom, master bedroom, it is just tons of sausages and salamis. And it always makes me think of the Seinfeld episode where Jerry is going to work out, and there's like the old man who's his friend who's like trying to get him to work out, and he's like, "You gotta watch what you eat, Seinfeld. All right, we're gonna get you on this good strict workout program." So he goes out, and then while he's gonna go work out, the neighbor, what's his name, Kramer, comes by and says, "Can I come by while you're out and use your apartment? I want to watch a movie." And he goes, "Sure, no problem." So he comes back and him and the trainer come into the house, and the trainer's been saying, like, "Oh, you such a slacker. You're not losing the weight. What's the deal?" And they walk in, and there's just meatza and salamis and sausages hanging all over his apartment, and Kramer is standing there, and he goes, "I thought you wanted to come and watch a movie." And he goes, "Yeah, an instructional video on how to stuff sausages and salamis." Could be a solo laugh on that one, but I always think of,
we can edit that out in post, don't worry.
All right, whatever, anyway.
We've been very busy at checking off the list of to-do things for the off-season. We have been busy at tiling.
First time ever.
Yep. Our neighbor Luke came over and showed us how to put tiles in kitchens, and we did the backsplashes between the stove and sink in all the apartments.
Well, it's like we just never do it a small project. It's not just one backsplash, it's five, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's always a big deal.
We got lots of practice, though. Well, they look great, and it'll be much easier to clean back there. So not very interesting, but I'm extremely excited about it.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Also,
excuse me.
We did a day trip to Deruta. Towards Rome in southern Umbria is a town called Deruta, who are famous for their pottery.
It's about
maybe an hour, 15?
Yeah, about 20 minutes or so south of Assisi.
Perugia.
Or Perugia, I'm sorry, you're right.
They're very famous for their pottery. They were the first ones
Yes. Actually, I have a bit of information. Deruta is very famous for its pottery, and specifically a type of pottery known as Maholica, which has been done in that area since, they think, the 12th century, which is totally crazy. And we got our pottery from a family called Grazia, and they have been doing it in their family uninterrupted, father to son, passed down in generations since the 1500s. That's crazy. Father to son. And we met Umberto, remember?
Mm-hmm.
So you want to talk about the color scheme?
Well, they do make pottery in our area, which is beautiful as well, but we have a emotional attachment to Deruta and this place, Grazia, in particular, because when we came to Italy the first time for our honeymoon, we were here, we wanted to get, instead of China, what do you call it when you ask for...
Like, as a traditional registry.
Yeah, if you register for China, we wanted to get something we'd actually use, so we came to Deruta and got tons of serving platters that we shipped back home.
Having no idea we would later move here or that we would use them like that.
Funny thing, we shipped them back to New York. They sat in boxes for 2 years.
Unopened.
Unopened until we shipped them back to Italy, to where we live now, and they returned 40 minutes from where they were born.
So it sounds to me like you just like shipping pottery across the transatlantic.
Yes, we like shipping pottery all over the world. So
here's the thing. Tons of pottery shops all over Italy. It can be a bit expensive and overwhelming. It's so beautiful to go in and look in these massive serving platters or even little dishes that you could hang on the wall.
They're absolutely gorgeous.
Beautiful.
Hand-painted.
Or pictures. They're all hand-painted. And some of them you can go in and see the warehouse where they're actually doing it right there. Many of them are little mom and pop shops. So the prices are really high because there's so much work that goes into it. And a plate could be
100
some euro. So that can get really expensive if you are trying to get some serious
quantity.
So here's what you do. You go in, you look around. Oh, che bello, che bello. Tell them how beautiful all of their work is. Oh, you're such an artista. You know, really sing the song. The Italians love that. And then kind of ask in a very polite way if they have any secondi or seconds or imperfetti, which are imperfects. And I would definitely try to use the word seconds because imperfect can be a bit difficult or slightly insulting at times. But I asked someone one time if they had any imperfects and she looked at me and said, no, she never has any imperfects because if there's something wrong, she immediately throws it against the wall, smashes, and breaks it. So you might not always be well-received if you ask for this. However...
That's not true.
Well, no, she wasn't offended. She knew what I was talking about, but she just said she doesn't sell any or keep any imperfects.
You'll have better luck at the bigger, the slightly larger manufacturers of ceramics.
Yes.
With
and
the imperfects.
Why you ask for imperfects is they are highly reduced, like...
60-80% less.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's just the glaze.
It's the glaze is off, or the color ran here, or, it was out...
Sometimes there's a mark in the actual plate, like the ceramic, there's a...
Normally, whatever it is, to your untrained eye, you will not be able to distinguish the difference.
No.
And this is how we were able to buy a nice quantity of it and actually be able to afford it.
So we just re-upped on our serving platters that Jason had broke last year. A hint... FYI, they are not meant to be put into the oven.
Or the dishwasher.
Well, the dishwasher didn't do it, but it was definitely the oven.
I did want... They're not for the dishwasher.
Okay.
They're hand washed.
So we learned the hard way.
And if you would like to learn more about it, just type in Daruta Pottery and...
I'm going
to
do a blog post about it. Yeah.
And it's a beautiful website and a beautiful place.
What else? Changing topics totally, yet still in Italy. We recently watched a documentary called Videocracy or Videocracy. And it's all about Italian television, as well as Berlusconi, because he is the president of television as well. And really interesting look at culture, politics, through television.
Through television, how they're all intertwined.
And affected by each other.
I did not know this, but in Italy there are girls that are called the Valine, and these are like the best, how do you describe them? Kind of like the Price is Right girls, exactly. But they do not model like soap. True. Or watches. They True. Just, they're, the Valine are there for eye candy, and they do the 30-second bumper or intro and outro dance for the program. So
they are there. They're not allowed to speak.
They don't speak at all.
And their number one goal is to keep the audience entertained. And it is pretty crazy. So like how American Idol will go like town to town to find the best singers, they'll do it here and go to big malls and they'll look for the next Valine showgirls.
And you have to do your little 30-second dance.
Uh-huh.
And,
they'll have these... Let me interview you. Why do you want to be a Valine?
Because I want to marry a footballer and become rich and famous.
Yes, yes. Very good.
It's no different than what the crap that we have in the States.
Well,
but...
the listeners to the podcast at home don't know, but... at the beginning and end of each show, I do a Valine dance.
Do you?
To keep...
We'll have to add video.
Yeah, I guess so.
Coming up, not...
Wait, I just have to say on that. We're not talking about only sleazy shows. Like, some of them are political shows, kind of like The Daily Show.
Or oh, yeah,
different,
yeah.
Like, there's... hard copy-esque where... The showgirls come on
and just start dancing in
half naked. We're talking a lot of boob, a lot of booty.
Anyway, Netflix or go vent Videocracy about mm-hmm. Berlusconi and the TV culture.
Thanks to our friend Sue for giving us a heads up on that one. We were asked to talk about what's in season.
Oh, yes. Thank you, everyone, for sending in your comments and your suggestions on what we should do for the podcast. We received lots of them, and it's great. If you would like to email us or check us out online, you can email us at info@latavolamarche.com. That's LATAVOLAMARCHE.com. And our email is info@, our website is www.latavolamarche.com, and our blog is
latavolamarche.blogspot.com.
So there you go. We shut it all out there. And if you have any suggestions, questions, comments, or...
Oh, and we're at Twitter, at latavolamarche.
Anyway, we got a lot of suggestions. So this we're going to do one today in season. What's in season around here? What do we see being made or just delicious things that are around?
Like what's coming out of the garden? But since the garden's literally covered in snow, I thought, okay, what's in season? And at first Jason for like this week was thinking, what? Nothing's really in season from the garden. And I said, Carnival treats are in season because they're starting to fill the supermarkets. All the bakeries and whatnot have all the delicious little treats for Carnival, all the mm-hmm. fried doughs. What's that pink stuff called?
Alchemist. So they have a basically like a fried dough here that they put this red liqueur on, and it's called Alchemist.
The liqueur is called Alchemist.
The liqueur is called Alchemist.
And it's kind of like a hot pink color.
Yeah, it's a really weird color, but they put it on zuppe inglese, and they put it on this thing.
And they also put it in ricotta.
You could put it in dessert, which is Alchemist awesome. And fresh ricotta, and sugar, a little
okay,
sugar.
That, by the way, is really bizarre, because it strangely tastes like pumpkin pie.
It tastes like pumpkin pie when you, whoops, sorry. Sorry, kitty. When you eat it with the ricotta.
It does.
It's really good. They also have a kind of a fried flat dough with a little bit of chocolate over the top.
Uh-huh.
I don't know names.
There's other, I know, neither do I, and they're all in dialect and stuff. There's other, like, fried dough balls that then they...
Lots of fried dough for Carnival.
Dough that then they stretch that she was talking
about.
Yes, and then they
powdered sugar.
Powdered sugar and fry it, and there's anise.
Mm-hmm.
So that's definitely what's in season.
We'll have to ask the regular Italian names for these things, because a lot of them, they use the dialect version of the names.
Or so. I just point and say, yes. Due di queste. Two of those.
So we're going to do what's in the market right now? Artichokes. Lately, we've been seeing big, huge globe or Jerusalem artichokes, the big, huge ones. And I think they're coming from...
Like softball huge.
Yeah. They're coming from Sicily right now, and they're absolutely delicious and gigantic. And the other day, I stuffed them.
And their prickles aren't so prickly.
No, they're not. We have two types. Usually, we get the smaller, more pointy-shaped uh-huh. artichoke with the purpley leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And now these are the big, giant Jerusalem ones. I stuffed it the other day with some sautéed vegetables. I took some carrot. First,
the scissors.
Yeah, first I cut off the very top of the leaves, so when you went to eat it, you don't get stuck with the little the points at the top. Then you just take some onion and some zucchini and a little red pepper and whatever you got.
Breadcrumb?
Sauté it up in a pan, a little olive oil and garlic. I used a little fresh sausage meat because we just did the sausages.
Which also made it that much better.
So I kind of threw that in and then kind of with the back of a fork kind of mushed up the sausage meat so it fell apart. Then I just chopped up a little parsley. I let that cool down. And then I took maybe two handfuls of breadcrumbs and threw them right in the pan and mixed everything up. Give it a taste. Make sure there's enough salt and pepper. Take your artichoke. Clean up the bottom, cut out, you know, trim up the tops, and then I kind of separated the leaves a little bit out of way. And then
you did a thing where you turned it upside down, pushed on it.
Yeah, I turned it upside down and just with the back of my hand pushed on it to kind of open the artichoke.
It helped.
Up a
that worked
bit.
A lot.
And then you just kind of take the breadcrumb mixture, stuff it into the leaves of the artichoke, just kind of go around and do each level until you get to the top. Throw it into a roasting pan.
It felt like it took forever.
It did. It took about 2 hours. But these are big
artichokes.
And
I was hungry.
throw it into a roasting pan, a little water in the bottom or some white wine. Throw some foil on it. 350, 175, 350 Fahrenheit, 175 Celsius for, about 2 hours. I would say you take a knife and stick it into the heart of the artichoke, and when it slips in and out really easily, you're done. The last 30 minutes, take the foil off and let the artichoke get all browned.
Oh,
and
good.
It is awesome. Very, very easy to do.
It's kind of like one of those things for me, like corn on the cob, where once you start eating it, it's really hard to stop.
And you can stuff it with whatever you want. If you want to leave the meat out or use pancetta, whatever vegetables you want to put in there, the sky's the limit, but stuffed baked artichokes.
And you would never put, like, cheese in there. Not like cheese, but like something in the breadcrumbs like that.
Like Parmesan cheese?
Yeah.
Nah,
I don't really think so either.
It didn't really need it.
I didn't think so either.
They were delicious. So
oh, and then you drizzled olive oil on the top at the end.
Of course, oil at the end. So that was delicious, and I served that. That one artichoke was enough for two people.
Yes, and you served it, and it beautifully accompanied fish and salt crust as... It was just awesome.
Yes.
You made fried fish and fish and salt crust. Delicious, by the way. Thank you.
So
that was a really good example, I think, of what was in season.
Mm-hmm.
Sweets and savories.
Okay, so there's our what's in season or what's going on, what's around in central Italy. Funny little story to tell you. We are permesso. We have permission. It's called a permesso di soggiorno. Permission to stay, which is basically like a green card. And I believe for the first few years you're in Italy, you have to renew it every year, and then it goes to every 2 years, and then after every 5 years, blah blah blah. Well, our permesso, we filled out our packet this time last year.
Yes, because we were gone last winter. So we came home, and it was March. It was the snowstorm.
Yes.
So we had to delay till mid-March. Maybe that's why we still haven't gotten it. I don't know.
Tell the story.
What?
Well, our permesso is almost going on 2 years expired now, because they send you a letter in the mail maybe 6 months before the card is going to expire, saying you need to fill out this paperwork and send it in, and then the questore or the police station will call you and finish the paperwork. So we did that. The police station called us and finished the paperwork, took our pictures, took our
fingerprints
again. We sent our packet in with our...
Sounds light. It is 90...
It's 90
pages per person. Double or triple copied.
It's a book. So this is the
every year.
So we send that in. Everything's good. The questor calls us, say, yeah, we got it. We got to finish this. Okay, sign here. We'll call. Here's your receipt. We'll call you when the card comes in. This was now a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
That when our card does arrive, it's going
to be expired. Which is just totally classic, because that's essentially what happened before. And they said, oh, just as long as you have the receipt on you.
You're fine.
You're fine.
So show them your old card and the receipt. But why even do it every year if I'm not going to receive the card until actually the card expires?
It's just totally ridiculous.
So
I think we have to go.
We should just go down there and see if it came in. But a little fun Italy fact that, you know.
Well, and they're rarely open, so. Anyway,
mid-January, we missed it because we were in Zurich, but was St. Anthony's Day.
Yes, and it is the benediction, the blessing of the animals, and he was the saint who protected and blessed animals. So what they do here in Piobico and tons of little towns all across Italy is the local priest will hold mass outside and will do a blessing for the town. Livestock.
Whatever animal you want to bring.
Any animal you want to bring. So everything from gerbils and birds to kittens and cows, it is hysterical. People bring in their donkeys,
There were a lot of donkeys.
It is like the funniest mix. And of course, the dogs start going crazy. There's a lot of sniffing involved. But next year we have to bring all the cats. I don't know if we would bring the chickens because that seems like ridiculous, but
we could bring the cats and the carriers, but it's a sight to see.
It is a sight to see.
And it's hysterical. Yes. I love it.
I just like the parade of all the animals coming in and the mayor rides a horse through town and the bigger animals get like a big parade through. It's a fun one. I just love the small town feel.
What else? Let's bring it home. Let's bring it home this week with our phrase or... The phrase that pays. Okay, so we got a funny one for you this week. We've been using this one a lot because we just got done with the holidays, but...
We don't know the exact literal translation, but we get the gist.
So if you were really full, you cannot eat another bite.
Oh, Jason, please, have another bite.
No, please. I cannot possibly. You would take your
right hand,
palm up, and kind of karate chop.
No, I think they put your palm down.
Palm down, and then kind of karate chop at your liver a little bit.
Yeah, like high rib cage.
High rib cage, so you're going to make like a chop.
Like a little 1, 2, 3.
Would say, "Mi sono abbuffato." I'm stuffed. I've made a pig of myself. So with the hand palm down, chopping at the high rib cage, "Mi sono abbuffato."
And for a girl, "Mi sono abbuffata," and you will get laughs by an Italian for sure because they would be so surprised you know this saying. And everyone at the table during the holidays, would lean back, "Mi sono abbuffato." So that's a good one. I've pigged out.
Yes, I have pigged out. Doctor told me I gain a kilo a week when I'm not working.
My God, I see it in your face. What have you eaten, boy?
Yes. Well, we're back to work here 8 weeks before the first guest arrives.
Countdown on. All right.
Very good. Well, thank you very much for tuning in and listening to us talk about what's going on in our lives. What else do I want to say?
I don't know. I think that's it. More next week.
All right. From beautiful Piobico in Le Marche, Italy. We'll talk to you next Tuesday or Wednesday. Thank you very much. www.latavolamarche.com.
Mi sono abbuffata.
Ciao.